searched for life's meaning. Enslaved by the world and my greed. Oh, but then the door of my prison was opened by love. For the ransom was paid, I was free. Oh,
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh.
I'm free.
Oh, I'm free from the fear.
Hallelujah.
Of tomorrow.
I'm free. Hallelujah.
I'm free.
Oh, welcome to this broadcast. I'm so delighted. I've got my information in front of you, and my window that I remove it from has disappeared. So here I sit with the telephone numbers in your face. There's not going to be much I can do about it. I don't see a thing I can change, but I'm glad you're here. We're going to have a great broadcast. Listen to me. We're going to have a great broadcast. We're going to talk about Satan being cast into hellfire. Satan being cast into hellfire. I don't know anything I could say to you that's more dynamic than to tell you without one question in the world that Satan is going to be cast into hellfire. It's as clear. It's as definite. I mean, it cannot be altered. It's just the way it's going to be. It's going to happen. Now, I'm thrilled. I'm overwhelmed with the truth of the broadcast today. I'm overwhelmed with it. I just know that it's going to change somebody's life. Now, just ignore those telephone numbers. At least you'll be reminded to call me along, because I don't know how to move them. Something I touched and they disappeared, and I don't know how to make it reappear, but to go on to a broadcast and have a great time. Now, we're going to talk today about the whole time of Satan's existence. You know, he was created as an angel. He was probably one of the great princes, one of the chief princes, maybe on the same level as Michael and Gabriel. We don't know that, but it seems to be a pretty good indication. And we know that Satan rebelled. He turned against God. He led one-third of all the great angelic host in his rebellion. And Jesus made a statement that is phenomenal. He said, "I beheld Satan fall from heaven." I beheld Satan fall from heaven. So Satan was cast out. He's been the prince of the power of the air for 6,000 years, approximately, maybe a little over, maybe a little under. And now he will soon be cast out of the mid-air into the earth. Then he's going to be cast out of the earth into the bottomless pit. Then he's going to be cast out of the bottomless pit into hell fire. What a history this character has. And it is all definite. It is all set in concrete. It cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. It's just the way it's going to be. Satan will soon be cast into hellfire. Satan will soon be cast into hellfire. When I think of it, I rejoice in it. I thank God for it. And let me tell you something. Because Satan knows his end and what it's going to be, he's angry. He's not only angry, everybody that's under his submission is angry. We are living in an angry world. Do you understand that? We are living in an angry world. And many of the good, decent people are scared to death of what is taking place. I go from place to place watching all the fear on people's face, and I'm amazed at it. Some people wear masks simply because they're told to, and we all understand that. Others do because their family demands it. Older people, if I would, my family would have me wearing a mask, but I'm not about to, because I know in whom I trust. I know who my healer is. I know what my future is. And so I just give it all and trust in the Lord with all of my heart. And he's not going to fail me. Did you hear me say he's not going to fail me? It's not possible that Jesus will fail one of his children. It is just not possible. Now listen to me. You do not have to be angry like the devil's crowd. And you don't have to be scared to death like the middle people in between these two worlds. There's no really anybody in between these two worlds. You're either serving God or you're serving the devil. You may not know you're serving the devil, but you're serving your flesh, or you're serving the world around you, or you're serving whatever you may be serving. And that's the opposite of serving Jesus and living for him. And today I call you to Christ. With all that's in my heart, I call you to Christ. And I want you to get your book of Revelation. We're going to do this study, and I'm going to do several of these over the next weeks on different subjects. And we're going to use specifically the book of Revelation. You got to understand the book of Revelation. Now listen to this. The book of Revelation is the story of Satan's demise. The book of Revelation is the absolute prophetic story in advance of Satan's demise. He is going to be destroyed. He is in the very loops of being destroyed. And he is so angry, I get amazed. All this hell that the world is experiencing right now, it's all the work of the devil. The devil is just, he's angry. He's going to make you angry if you let him. He's got a lot of people angry. Look at the political world. You talk about anger. I've never seen so much anger in the political world in my life. Where do you think it's at? It's not just at a man or a woman. That anger is the work of Satan. He's got people scared. He's got everybody divided on one side or the other. We're living in that kind of crazy world. But I'm calling you to just trust Christ. I'm calling you to just get yourself in your Bible. I'm calling you to start laying that Bible on your mind and on your heart and get yourself saturated with your Bible, especially the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is so spectacular. It is so exciting. It is so thrilling. Now remember, I've got my own book I've written on the masterpiece. That's the book of Revelation is the masterpiece. And so that's what I call my book, because it's a verse by verse, word by word of the total Bible. The total book of Revelation. And if you don't have it, you need it. And then if you want to go deeper, I've got 24 DVDs or CDs, whichever you choose, 24 now, an hour each, 24 hours of the study of the book of Revelation, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, from beginning to end. What a study for Wednesday night to do with your church. As soon as you're back in that building, you ought to get this 24 DVDs and set up a camera on Wednesday night. Set up a monitor on Wednesday night and have this as a discussion. Show it to your congregation. You may want to show half a night. You go all year if you do half a Wednesday night, and then have another 30 minutes of discussion and talk about it and answer questions. Friend, you'll turn your church upside down. You'll change the whole atmosphere in your church if you get that whole crowd reading the book of Revelation. You will change everything about your church. You get them reading the book of Revelation. Now, we're going to go to several points in the book of Revelation. Now, listen to me so you can follow me. We're going to start in chapter 6. In chapter 6, we see that the Lord Jesus has come. The rapture has occurred. And the seals now, the seven seal book is beginning to be opened. It's a title deed of the earth. And it shows both the judgments of God and all the actions of God's mercy and God's grace. And so you got 7 years then that take you through to the end of the tribulation period. And then Jesus returns to the earth and sets up his kingdom from Jerusalem. Called the great millennial 1,000-year reign begins. Satan will be cast in the bottomless pit at that time. And then after 1,000 years, he'll be loosed a short season. And that's for the purpose of tempting that crowd that's born during that 1,000 years. You understand? A lot of people will be born from the time the millennial starts to the millennial ends. And they've never been tempted until the end of the 1,000 years. And Satan is turned loose to tempt them. And he will do a good job of it. And there will be a multitude of them that follow him. And they'll be cast, into judgment. And so it's a big picture. And so let's take a little bit at a time. Let's go to chapter 6 of Revelation. If you've got your Bible and you want to study it with me, get Revelation chapter 6. And you see the beginning of Satan's anger. Now chapter 6 begins the 7 years, okay? The 7 years in chapter 6 is where it begins. Goes right on then to the end when Jesus comes back to fight the battle of Armageddon. And so you see Satan's anger as it begins to erupt in chapter 6. Satan's anger begins to erupt in chapter 6. So let's go in our Bible. We'll go to chapter 6. We'll go to verse 9. And let's begin to read here and see if we can get a picture. When it opened the fifth seal, now the seven seal book, and when he opens the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, now listen, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now already, here is chapter 6, and these people are slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So Satan is in the business already of killing. He's in the business of mutilizing, of just absolutely murdering, and a whole multitude of men and women who confess Christ, who turn to Christ after the rapture will be killed. Now, Marie, that real slow for you. I want you to get it. When he'd opened the fifth seal, I saw, and this is John says, I saw it. And he didn't just hear it. John saw it. You'll see that all through the book of Revelation. John said, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, we talked about that from the grace standpoint last Saturday, but today we're talking about it from the wicked standpoint. The devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet have gone to work on everybody that confesses Christ, everybody that turns to Christ, everybody that believes Christ. Now, after the rapture, they're getting right with God. They're confessing the blood. They're repenting of their wicked ways. They're asking God to forgive them for being backslid and for leaving their first love and from going cold and indifferent and losing the fire of God. And so here's this great crowd that are being slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they hail. Now, you don't see Satan there, but you know it is Satan and his crowd that's doing that. So we know his activity out of the pit of hell, his activity from the devil. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, doth thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now, Satan's got a whole company. You talk about liberals and these so-called progressives and these people who hate Israel and people who hate the blood of Jesus, who do not believe the word of God, people that are just gone into every kind of terrible, sinful lifestyle you can imagine. They've joined the devil's crowd and they joined the Antichrist and they joined the false prophet and they go to work on mutilizing. Killing, and they go on a rampage. You see, right now, Christians are protected from being slaughtered in most places, at least in America, not in many other places of the world. Many people are being killed for their faith. China has been busy for years burning churches and destroying people. No wonder this virus started there. You can understand that. And I'm telling you, this will get so intent by the time that rapture has taken place, it will be hell on earth. You got to understand that. Now, listen at the Bible. I want you to get what the Bible says. And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little while until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be killed. So not only is this a crowd of people dead, killed, their souls are under the altar, so their souls now, they're no longer in their flesh. They are like other people who have died and await the glorious day of either the judgment or the resurrection. And here they are, and they're in this state between, and they're told to rest a little while until their fellow brethren should be killed. And the others should be killed. So it's not just one crowd that's been killed. It's multitudes behind them. Friend, you got to understand, when that rapture takes place, people all over this world who knew what it was, who knew the truth of the Bible, who had been at least told about it, suddenly realized, man, I have missed it. And so they get right with God by the multitude. You see, a revival will be in progress at this time. It'll be a Holy Ghost awakening. Sons and daughters all over this world will be getting right with God. And they'll be killed as they get right with God. They'll be murdered. They have to love their life unto death. That's how they have to love it. They have to love this kingdom of God unto death. They got to be willing to die. Now, friend, you can see that Satan really goes to work. I mean, he is angry. He is doing his evil work with everything in him. He is going out to murder and destroy. I got to read this on for you. White robes given unto them. They're told to rest a little while to their brothers and friends. And I beheld when he'd opened the sixth seal when he'd opened the sixth seal well, I'm telling you, lo, there were great earthquake, and the sun became as black as sackcloth of hair, and the blood, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when there is a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. The holy mountain I'm telling you, every mountain and every island were moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman. Listen now, every bondsman and every freeman. And all themselves, they hid themselves in dens and under the rocks to hide themselves from the face of God who sits on the throne. Now, you see what I've read. You can hear that the rapture's taking place. The devil is angry. He is ferocious. He is moving with steady purpose and steady meaning to destroy everybody on the face of this earth that names the name of Jesus. Oh, did you know how precious that name is? It will be so precious during that period of time. It will be so precious. It will be overwhelmingly precious. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Now, let's move on to chapter 12 and try to get this picture. I want you to understand that Satan is acting with such fury. Oh, but don't feel too bad now. We're going to get over that to the point where he's cast into that bottomless pit, and then he's cast into hellfire. Oh, what a happy day when old Lucifer is cast into that lake of fire. What a happy day when Lucifer is cast into that lake of fire. Now let's go to chapter 12 and verse 3. Listen now. And there appeared another woman in heaven. Listen now. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Now you're going to get a picture of the devil. There appears a wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew, listen, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. These are angels. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and did cast them into the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, listen to me. Stay with me. You got to be careful. Revelation chapter 12. A great woman. Here, a great woman, and she's a light, and she represents the church universal. But in her womb is a child that has not yet been born. Well, this, see, is talking about the rapture. See, chapter 12 is synonymous with chapter 4. Each one of them is a picture of the rapture occurring. And this is the second picture. The first, John, we saw John. There was a window opened in heaven. And John was caught up into heaven and saw the elders and saw, you know, the great scenes of heaven, saw the Father on his throne. But now it's a different picture. We're seeing it from an earthly perspective. In chapter 4, we saw it from a heavenly perspective. I hope you get this. If you're not, you can grab a phone. You got the number in front of you. Anytime I get a call, I'll stop and we'll try to answer your question. But this chapter 12 is synonymous with chapter 4. We have two pictures of the rapture. One picture of the rapture and a heavenly scene. And then the next picture of the rapture and the earthly scene. Got me? Listen to me, I've talked to a lot of good people, and most Bible scholars agree with this, that one rapture is chapter 4, the same rapture but a different perspective is chapter 12. One, we see it from a heavenly viewpoint, John's caught up to heaven, here we see a church on earth. And we see the devil, the red dragon, boy, the devil. See, the devil's best image right now is a red dragon. That's exactly what we see all over the world. The red dragon. He hates the rapture. Why do you hear so much against the rapture? It's because that's what the devil hates. Oh, does he hate the rapture? He couldn't hate anything worse, because when the rapture takes place, we're gone from his perspective. We're gone from his evil. We've gone from his temptations. We've gone from him hating us and out to destroy us. Oh, won't that be a day when I'm beyond the devil's reach? Every Christian out there, you will be beyond the devil's reach at this point in chapter 12. Now, I got to make sure you get this. There was a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And she was heavy with child, soon to be delivered. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. That's the picture of the church right now. And the crowd of rapture ready, folks. Ain't a big crowd anymore. I'm hoping a Holy Ghost revival comes and sweep people back into the place of surrender and devotion and dedication and being on fire for God. If you're not on fire for God, you're being so foolish. Oh, you really are. I'm telling you. And here we see the picture. This great woman, she's the church universal. The church is still mighty. I mean, think about it. The church is still mighty. Right now, all over America. What is the emphasis? The emphasis is we who belong to part of the church not being able to be in the house of God. We have in churches in our yards, on the social media, any way we can, we're having church to defy these people that would like to put us out of business, because we got a world that's either for the church or against the church. And the whole political argument actually comes down to a spiritual argument. It really does. The whole political argument in America comes down to a spiritual matter. If you don't see that, I wish I could help you see that, because here is the church universal, a sun-clothed woman, even in her worst shape, but she has a child in her womb. That's that blood-washed crowd that are all over the world. I don't care what kind of church you go to, you'll find one or two saints of God in there that love God, that are hanging on to Christ, that are doing their best to keep close to the cross. You really will. You really will. And that's the picture of it. A great woman. She's sun-clothed. The moon's under her feet. She's still celebrating Christmas. She's still celebrating Easter. She's still got some faith in her. But mostly, they've left their first love. Mostly, they've lost the fire of the Holy Ghost. And they're going to be cast into that tribulation. And then they will turn back to Christ like a multitude. And here's the picture of how the devil hates this church. Hates it. The Bible said that he drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them into the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now, who does that promise made to? The church. The bride of Christ will rule all nations with a rod of iron. That's the promise right here in verse 5 of chapter 12. Look at it. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to the throne. Her child was caught up to God and the throne. That's again the rapture. The same rapture you saw in 4 when John saw a window open in heaven and he was called up there and saw the 24 elders around the throne. Here's the same picture except from a different viewpoint. We saw it there from a heavenly picture. We see it here from an earthly picture. Isn't that powerful? Oh, I wish we were somewhere we could just sit down and you could, one after the other, ask the question and we could get to the heart of this great truth. What I'm dealing with is the devil. Does he hate the rapture? And does he hate the church? And look at the furor that he is going to have once that rapture takes place. Look at the furor. You're talking about anger. During those 7 years of the great tribulation, the devil will do the most wicked deeds. He will perform the most hideous things. He will attack people with the most diabolical kind of attack. And it will be a hell on earth. You don't want to be here. I cry out to all of you listening to me. Don't wait until after the rapture to get right with God and have to go through this. Don't wait till Jesus has come and the saints have gone before you go and let Jesus wash you in his blood. Do it now. Do it now. I beg of you. I'm willing to stop right here and just reach out for the lost and reach out for the unsaved and reach out for the careless crowd. You think you're making money. You think you're living big time. You got your boats and you got everything you can imagine. And I'm not saying those things are wrong. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how people live so much for everything but Jesus. They live so much but for everything but the kingdom. I'm calling you to Christ. I'm calling you to get caught up in the love of Jesus. Well, here you see what the devil is going to do. You saw earlier how he attacks everybody that gets right with God. That was in chapter 6. Now you see in chapter 12, he's standing before the sun-clothed woman. Some think that's Israel. Well, I have no trouble having some reference to Israel, but I believe it's the church. I believe it's the church triumphant, the church victorious, the church rising above the storms, the church keeping on. There's some godly people all over this world, folks, who are living for Christ. They're in many different settings, and they go by many different names. They're many different nationalities, but all must be washed in the blood. There's no way to be part of the kingdom except you be washed in the blood. So there you see the devil. I mean, he is determined. I got to read on because you got to see all these words. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to the throne. See the rapture? Her child was caught up unto God and to the throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God. And they shall feed her there 1,260 days. 1,000, 3.5 years. They shall feed her there. And there was war. Now here's what I want you to see. And there was war in heaven. Did you know there's fixing to be a war in heaven? This war takes place about the same time as the rapture. Maybe it begins early, maybe starts a little later, but right in the beginning of the 7 years, there's a war in heaven. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So now get the picture. You got to see this good. The rapture's taking place. We're at the time of the rapture, right before, right during, right after. All of this is taking place simultaneously. And there's a war that starts in heaven. The devil gets angry. He pulls down all of his evil spirits, a third of the angelic host. I mean, millions and millions and millions. And they start a war, but Michael shows up with all of the other angels, two-thirds on his side. And this war takes place in the heavens. The devil is fighting against the spirits of Christ, the angels of the Lord. And there's war in heaven. But can I tell you who loses? Anybody want to make a statement about who loses? Well, there's no question. We know who's going to lose. Listen, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Neither. Now, right now, you hear me. You wonder why you have so many things attacked you, why there's so many dark things in the world, why so many people hate you, why I don't care how good things are going, they always turn the other way for a period of time. You wonder why. There's always a war around you. You talk about a war. We're in one right now. That's probably like America literally hasn't seen for many years. That's the least. I'll just say it there and stop. Now listen, this war will be between the angels of God and the angels of the devil. Michael will lead the angels of God, and the devil will lead the spirits of darkness. They now reign in the heavens, see? The Bible said Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Somewhere between here and heaven is this great realm, and that's where Satan has his kingdom. Well, he's going to be cast out. That's the thing that happens right here in this chapter. The devil is cast out of the midair. He is cast out of the midair. Now, I want to tell you some things about old devil. God still lets him have certain powers. These are temporary, and these will soon be over. But right now, Satan can appear before God, and he can accuse us. There was war in heaven and prevailed not, neither was their place found, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Notice he deceiveth the whole world, was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Now, I want you to get the picture. Please make sure. In the heavens above us right now are the powers of Satan. Satan rules. He's the prince of the power of the air. He rules in the heavens. He attacks us to the earth, but he also has an approach to God. He is in between the world of man and the world of God, and he has certain abilities to move in between the two. You got to hear me. This is overwhelming truth. This is an overwhelming fact. But at this moment, right here, the beginning of the 7-year tribulation period, right about the beginning, we don't have an exact date on that, but we know the rapture takes place, and then there's war in heaven, and Satan and his angels are cast out and are cast down to the earth. And they are cast down. Now listen to what the Bible says. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out with his angels. And I heard a great voice in heaven. Now you got to hear this. I heard a great voice in heaven. Now is come salvation and strength and knowledge. And I'm sorry, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, that old serpent, which accused them before our God day and night. You wonder why sometimes it seems like God don't hear you for a few days? Well, the devil is accusing you. The devil is going before God and trying his best to put you out and put you under and destroy you. And Jesus is interceding for you. Woo! Jesus is interceding for you. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, friends, I'm telling you, we're talking about some things that are heavenly, and they're going to happen. You say, now, Brother Chambers, are you sure this is real? I'm telling you, the Bible is real from beginning to end. There is no point in this Bible where it's not real. And so I hear the Lord say, the accuser of the brethren is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night. Hallelujah. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto the death. Now, we're in a dark period here, brother. Please understand the rapture's already taken place. And this crowd that's left here on this earth who are going to fight the devil. Remember, they will be subject to bitter and horrible things, but God will protect them. He has a place for them. He has a provision for them. Even those getting saved during the tribulation period will have certain protection. I know they'll have to die. I know terrible things will happen, and I know it'll be a dark period. And some little things there you don't quite grasp how it's going to be. Well, God has all of that in preparation. Oh, it's going to be a great day, friend. I mean, we're talking about something overwhelming. Overwhelming. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Now, we ought to stop right there. How do you win the victory over the devil day by day? By the blood of the Lamb. You have no victory from the evil one except the blood of the Lamb. If you don't overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, he's going to make mincemeat out of you. He'll chew you up and spit you out. He wants you in hell so bad. He'll do anything he can to destroy your faith, destroy your life, and to see you damned, and to see you in the dark region of the wicked and the damned. Oh, my dear friends, if ever we've sought the will of God, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I want to say that again. Listen, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the blood. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth of the inhabitants of the earth, and the seed of the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short season. Now, Satan. Here's a picture. The devil is cast out, and he's very mad. He's angry. He's beyond measure. He's insane. He's insane already is, but he'll be even more insane. And the Bible says he was literally attacked with such fury. The Bible said, rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Rejoice you that have been raptured. Do you hear what he's saying? I got to read that again. Rejoice, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, knowing, because he knows he has but a short time. Now, that scripture, that's overwhelming. He says, rejoice, you heavens. you that are caught up, you that are in heaven, you that have been raptured, you that are with the Lord in the place of the redeemed. And then he said, but woe unto you on the earth. What a division. See, that happens at the rapture. One crowd goes up, one crowd goes into hellfire. Not into hellfire, but into hell judgment. Let me say that right. One crowd goes up, that's the raptured crowd. The other crowd have to face evil like they've never known. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil is come down unto you, knowing that he has but a short season with great wrath. Oh, friends, are you hearing Brother Chambers? You can read these later. That's chapter 12. Read every bit of it. Read chapter 6, then read chapter 12. We'll go on in a little bit to chapter 13 and then chapter 20. I'm telling you that here's the picture of the devil coming slowly to his place of judgment, slowly to the wrath of God. And he says, rejoice. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman. Listen to this. He persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Now, that's the church left. She brought forth the man-child. The man-child was caught up to heaven, but the woman wasn't. Notice that. Now, that's very clear. The woman was. The church that is lukewarm and indifferent, you're not going in the rapture. The only folks going in that rapture is those who are ready to go in that rapture. Sold out, committed, on fire for Christ. If you're not, read that again. I got to take a moment there. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Listen, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, that the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, knowing he hath but a short season. Oh, friend, what a dark place to be in. What a dark place, and I beg of you now, get yourself right. Get yourself ready. Get on fire. You've been lukewarm and indifferent. You used to go to church regularly and be on fire and serve God with devotion. And now you're just, you're just in and out and up and down. No lasting commitment. I beg of you. I beg of you. Now, we got to go to chapter 13. The devil has a design that's quite overwhelming. I won't have time for all of this, but you got to see in chapter 13 that the devil produces a false Christ. A false Christ. That begins in chapter 1, verse 1. And then you go down to verse 11, and the devil produces. Wait a minute. Let me make sure. Well, I'll give you that in a moment. I was the wrong chapter there. Verse 11, and I beheld, yes. Verse 1, you have the false prophet, the false Christ. Verse 2, verse 11 of chapter 13 now. Notice chapter 13. Chapter 13 of Revelation. First, the devil introduces his false Christ. Oh, what a picture. Then he introduces a false spirit. You say, Brother Chambers, are people going to be deceived all during that period, even though they know the rapture's taking place, and they know these saints of God that's gone to heaven, and they know these things that they've heard when they were in church as a child, or as a young Christian, or at some point of their life? I'm telling you, the devil's deception will be so intent and will be so magnificent. Notice that word magnificent. The devil can do magnificent things, but always with deception in his mind, with deception in his voice. Well, let me read just a little bit of this. And I saw under the altar, and I stood upon the sands of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. Well, chapter 13, verses 1 through 10, describe that false Christ. I mean, he is so, and they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? I'm telling you, the devil produces his false Christ, and multitudes will worship that false Christ. They will worship that false Jesus, not the Jesus of the cross, but the Jesus the devil produces for them to deceive them and to bring the world under his sway. And now you have that picture, and it would take a little time to read it. We may do that maybe next Saturday. I don't know. But you've got to understand this Antichrist. He's already at work. He's at all kinds of places. That's all kinds of Jesuses out there. Many people are preaching Jesus as though it was the Christ of the cross, but it has no saving power. It has no blood anointing. It's not bringing sinners to the cross. They're just getting religion, and they keep on living like they've always lived. Let me tell you something. A church that's compromised the holiness of God is not His church, and you need to understand that, friend. You say, Brother Chambers, are you an old hard holiness preacher? No, I'm an old biblical preacher. A biblical, godly preacher. Live by the book. That's all you got to do. If you live by the book, you got it, man. You don't need to do what I say do. Do what the book says do. Is that not clear? Is that not as simple as the nose on your face? Well, here is this false prophet. And he goes out and he's the new Jesus. And the world goes after him. This is the devil's production. The devil produces him. The devil does a magnificent job of a false Christ that deceives multitudes. You understand the trillions of people on this earth, and many of them they don't even know there's a Bible. They've never heard the story of Jesus. They will fall, many of them, by the multitudes into the arms of this false Christ, this false religion, and they'll be lost forever. Oh, what a sad picture. Well, let's go to verse 11. You got to see the false prophet. Now, this false prophet is something else. Listen to me. I beheld another beast come up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon. See, the false spirit, the false anointing is very deceptive. The charismatic anointing was false. It was a false anointing. It was absolutely false to the core. I said that from the time it started. I never, never fail to stand up right here on this radio over and over and over. I warn you about this false Christ and this false spirit, false anointing. Let me tell you, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is so pure and so holy and so perfect. Everything He does is in perfect harmony with the Bible. And it's easy to know and recognize that true anointing from that false anointing. And it's everywhere today. It's right now. Everywhere, in many places. I've heard so many things about this false anointing. See, I did 11 videos on the false anointing. 11. They went all over the world. Many of you can go, you can right now YouTube. And they're there. They've been seen by thousands and thousands of people. Go look at them. Look at the false anointing by Joseph Chambers on the YouTube. And you'll see me saying the very thing I'm saying right now. That the real anointing is biblical. The real anointing honors nobody but Christ. The real anointing doesn't fall on anybody but godly people who live a pure life. A gentle, kind Christian walk before God. Oh, what a picture. Well, here is this false anointing. And he exercised all the power of the first beast. Before him that causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the devil, to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. See, that first beast actually is slaughtered in some form of fashion and resurrected and comes back to life. How they pull off a feat like that, I don't know. But I just know they're going to do it. And they're going to fool the world, and the televisions all over the world will be full of this false. And people will be falling down in front of their televisions and worshiping a false Christ. Godly people, of course, many of them already been saved and killed and slaughtered by the evil one. But the wicked crowd, they will be so deceived. It is breathtaking. It's breathtaking. Well, this whole 13th chapter, you need to read it. Chapter 13, verses 1 through 10 is the false Christ. Verses 11 through the end of the chapter is the false spirit. See, the devil has a trinity. The devil has a trinity. The devil, the false prophet, and the false spirit. The devil, the false Christ, and the false spirit. The devil will have a trinity right during the tribulation period. If you don't believe in the trinity, you're missing something extremely important because even the devil imitates the false trinity. Imitates the true Trinity. The devil imitates the true Trinity. Let me tell you something that happened. I was in Egypt, and I went to one of the big temples, And you know what they have in their temples? They have a place of the altar, and they always have three divisions for the three members of the false trinity. Always have that. I saw that on three different occasions in temples and temple locations, and it was overwhelming to me. Overwhelming. What did I do? What did I do? Well, I don't know what I did, but I did something. I hope I can find it. Wow, where am I at? Where am I at? Where am I at? Well, I don't know what that is and what that was, but I know the Lord is mighty to save. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, I'm right here. I know I'm not being heard right, and I don't know what did it. I moved there maybe. Maybe I jerked something. I don't know. Give me a moment here. Give me a moment here. Okay, I don't want to miss you. I don't want to end this without showing you the devil and how he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. Are you hearing me? I believe you are. I think it's just me not hearing myself, probably, whatever it is. God takes care of me, and God always helps me through the... Oh, I got it. I got it. I got it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for that. I pulled the thing that controls my hearing aid. Now, listen, not hearing aid, my hearing plugs. Listen to me, friend. The devil is coming down with great wrath. The wickedness of the evil one. What a ugliness. What a darkness. What a benightedness. It's overwhelming when you understand these things and you begin to get the Bible in your mind and in your heart and you understand it rightly. It's amazing to me when you really understand the Bible rightly. It's a powerful thing. Now, I have a few minutes. We want to go to chapter 20 because I want to make sure you know that the devil is soon to be judged. The devil is on a lease. The devil is on a lease. He has a very short time. A very short time. And then he will be destroyed. You got to go with me to the book of Revelation chapter 20. The book of Revelation chapter 20. I don't want you to miss anything. Let's go to chapter 20 verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon. He laid hold on the dragon. Listen to me. And he laid hold on the dragon, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit. Cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. And set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nation anymore, until 1,000 years were finished. And then he will be loosed for a short season. Now, I've always had questions about the devil being loosed for a short season. And I answered it earlier in this broadcast, but I want to answer it again in case you join me. Why is the devil cast into the bottomless pit? That's in the bottom of hell. That's in the darkest region of the damned. The darkest place of the most wicked spirits. He's cast down there with the filth of thousands of fallen angels and fallen human beings. It's a place of bitterness, a place of darkness. And the devil is there 1,000 years. Boy, he's paying his dues. Boy, he's being judged rightly. What's happening to him is an overwhelming picture. It is overwhelming. I'm telling you, it's overwhelming. And he will be there 1,000 years and then loose a short season. Now, you understand, during this 1,000 years, a lot of people will be born. A lot of people will be born, and they've never been tempted, because that 1,000 years is the reign of Jesus Christ. There's no wickedness on the earth. There's no wickedness to lead them astray. But Satan turned loose a short season, and people are gullible. Do you realize how gullible people can be? It breaks my heart to see it, but it's real. It really, really, really is real. And I'm here to tell you, you got to hear me. I'm telling you that people are falling prey to the enemy today. It is amazing the wickedness our world is saturated with. It's everywhere. It's pure godless. But the devil will be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, deceiving nobody during that 1,000-year millennial reign. Hey, that millennial reign is something. We'll spend a whole broadcast shortly with that. The millennial reign, when Christ reigns on this earth 1,000 years, and we, the saints of God, will reign with Him. We'll be judges and presidents and kings and rulers on many different levels, and the nations of the world will be under His divine auspices, and He will rule them with righteousness. And the Bible said that righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Oh, won't that be a wonderful day? But then Satan is loose for a short season. And he uses his time wisely and goes to work on people who are gullible. And many of them follow the devil and they're judged. You can read that picture, how they are judged. And they are cast then out and cast into this place of judgment. I mean, the devil, he never learns. Excuse me. The devil never learns. With all that the devil is suffering, with all that he's going to suffer, right to the end, he keeps moving in his wickedness. He keeps determining to destroy. He's interested in nothing but destruction. That's all he wants. He wants to destroy you, my friends. He wants to turn evil on you. He wants to send you into the pits of hell. He wants to damn you. Well, let's go to the final word about old Lucifer, old devil, Satan. Go with me to Revelation 20 and 10. You got to read this verse with me. Everybody needs to read this verse with me. From heaven, where he was no doubt a singing angel with great musical ability. He deceived Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. I mean, he's been a slick character all through these years. If you think you can outsmart the devil, you can't outsmart the devil. He's had 6,000 years to deceive. He knows every trick in the whole business of deception. He knows exactly what would get you. He knows the thing that will trouble you the most. He knows the thing that will disturb your mind the quickest. He knows how to work on you. And he will continue. The Bible says he goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, it's horrible to think of the wickedness of evil, the wickedness of the devil, and how he destroys. Well, the devil that deceiveth them was cast into the lake of fire. And the devil that deceiveth them was cast into the lake of fire. Notice this now. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are. See, the beast and the false prophet are both already there. They're cast in before the 1,000 years begin. But now the devil is cast in with them. Oh, that's overwhelming. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And the devil shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. No wonder the devil is so angry. No wonder he hates a broadcast like this. No wonder he wants to keep you under his auspices, under his control. He wants to keep you loving pleasures and loving worldly things, making money. He wants to keep you living it up like you have some grand dose, plan. I mean, it's amazing how people are living today, how careless they are, about the church and the kingdom and the things of Christ and the things of God. It's a dark picture. But the devil finally is cast into the lake of fire, where he will be tormented day and night, fire and brimstone, the Bible says, forever and ever. You have somebody telling you that hell is not forever? Well, this Bible says it's forever, and you don't want to go there. You know, when I get to thinking about people spending eternity in the lake of fire, it almost overwhelms me. I have a hard time handling it. I really do. If there's anything I'd rip out of the Bible, if God would give me the privilege of taking something out and it not being part of the Bible, I'd take hell out, because it's a horrible place. But then I would have to take Calvary out, because Jesus died on the cross to save you from hell. He didn't die to save you from an illusion. He didn't die to save you from just being deceived. He didn't die just to save you because you needed a better life. He died to save you from hell, friend. The Bible says hell was created for the devil and his angels. If you go there, you're an imposter. If you go there, you go there against the plan of God. If you go there, you go against the will of God. God don't want you to spend eternity in hell. God doesn't want you to spend eternity in hell. Now, I got to bring this to a close. I don't presume the phone is wrong. I've been too busy to catch it if it did. But I'm here to tell you that these things I'm showing you, the devil will soon be in hellfire. The devil is so close to hellfire. 7 years he could be in the bottomless pit. And he'll be in that bottomless pit in the hellish place you can imagine for 1,000 years. And then he'll know during that 1,000 year of hellfire and in the bottomless pit, he'll know that eternal hell is now awaiting him. And as soon as he does his last little evil deed, you would think but he can't repent. He is incorrigible. He is on his way to the hellfire. I'll never forget. I was in the synagogue one night. I'd been asked to come and talk to them about how to go to heaven. How to go to heaven. This was a synagogue right off of Moorhead Street. It's been moved now, but I never forget being there. What a beautiful night it was. They fed me. See, Friday night. See, how is it? Friday night is their night service, and Saturday is their day service because they worship on the Saturday. And I was there on Friday night. And there was a question that it was a big crowd. One of the Jewish people stood up and said, Reverend Chambers, I want to ask you a question. I said, I want to try my best to answer. And I did answer numbers of them that night. It was a great night. And he said, if Hitler would come to the church, if he was still living and he would come to the church, could he become a Christian? I thought, wow, what a question to answer in a Jewish synagogue. I said, well, let me do my best to answer the best I know how. Number one, let me tell you, the devil is probably incorrigible. The devil is so, well, he was really talking about Hitler. Hitler was whom he was really speaking of, but we're talking about the devil in essence. But I said, but Hitler was so incorrigible. He was so wicked. His deeds were so full of malice. I don't think the devil had no capacity to turn around. I don't think he had no capacity to repent. But if somehow he could have woke up to his wickedness and his evil and his killing of your wonderful Jewish people, and he would have repented on his face and wept with tears before God and clung to the blood of Jesus, he would have to have been saved. I said, nobody that will turn to Jesus can be lost. Nobody. The blood of Jesus saves everybody that turns to him. Well, I know I got to go here. Listen, I'm here to tell you the devil will soon be in hellfire. The devil is going to be destroyed. You may let him rule your life. You may let him make mincemeat out of you. You may live a silly, wicked old life. But I'm telling you, the devil will soon be out of business. The devil will soon be out of business. And I'm crying out to you, turn to God with all your heart. Turn to Christ with all your life. You need him. You need him ruling your life. You need him working in your heart and life. And I beg of you, turn to Jesus with all your heart and let him save you. Let him work his graces in you. Do not serve the devil any longer. You're wasting yourself. You're wasting your good time. Now, I got a few moments here. We have church out here in this yard tomorrow. And it's been beautiful. Right under the canopy, I'll be preaching, singing. We'll just have wonderful church. And I hope you'll be out there in your car. We have a big parking lot. It was half full because it goes all the way down to the next property. And it's very deep. And there's plenty of room. And you can hear me all the way. Then on the front, out along the road, you can park cars. I'd like to fill this place up tomorrow. I'd like to fill it up. So would you plan to come and be with us 11 o'clock in the morning? 5110 Tuckasegee. I promise you, I'll preach the word with every bit of my heart. I'll give it all I got. I'm not a half-hearted. I'm a full-hearted. And I'll give it. We'll have a great church. I promise you. Our school is going on. If you want to know more about a great Christian school, we are the place you need to know. God bless you. I love you. I'm praying for you. I'm believing God to help you turn to Christ with all your heart. The time is short. And the coming of the Lord is so near. I love you. I love you, my friend.
Oh, but then the door of my prison was opened by love, for the ransom was paid, I was free. Oh, I'm free, free.
shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free from that guilt that